How did God change a committed fool into a wise minister of the word? John awoke with a start to find his cabin knee-deep with water. The violent motion of the ship had almost thrown him out of his bunk. The steady wind of the night before had turned into a howling North Atlantic gale. Having spent a good portion of his 22 years at sea, the young sailor realized that the Clipper was about to sink. Heading toward the companionway, John heard someone above shout, "She's going down!" More icy seawater came pouring through the hatch. John had started up the ladder when the captain shouted down to him to bring a knife. As he turned around to get one, another sailor climbed up the ladder and reached the deck just ahead of him. John could only watch as another huge wave broke across the deck and swept the man overboard. The storm had already ripped away some boards from the side of the ship, which was quickly filling with water. Several sailors were manning the pumps, and the captain ordered John and some others to start bailing with buckets. These frantic efforts would not have kept them afloat except for the fact that their cargo was primarily beeswax and wood. Finally, when dawn came, the wind let up somewhat. The sailors stuffed clothes and bedding in the biggest holes to keep the sea from pouring in every time a wave broke against the ship. John kept bailing and pumping until about noon that day. He was so tired and cold by then that he fell into his bed, not knowing and hardly caring if he would ever get up again. Within an hour, however, he was called back on deck. Too exhausted to pump, he was sent to the helm. His assignment was to steer the foundering ship. He stayed at the wheel until midnight. During those long hours of battling the wind and the waves, an even wilder storm was raging within the young man's soul. Since keeping the ship headed into the wind did not require a great deal of concentration, John allowed his mind to wander. His struggle was not with the fear of death particularly, for that was a challenge he had faced many times before. In fact, even seeing his shipmate washed overboard that morning had bothered him very little. Philosophically, John knew that he would face death himself, whether in a matter of hours, days, or perhaps years. Several years earlier, John had decided not to believe in God. As an atheistic infidel, he had totally rejected the Bible as the Word of God. For that reason, he was puzzled by something he had said that morning. He had not intended to say it. He had spoken the words aloud, but to no one in particular, and his voice could not have been heard over the roar of the gale anyway. Now the sentence kept echoing in his brain. He had said, "The Lord have mercy upon us." It was the first time in years he had spoken God's name without cursing. Even now, as he stood at the helm and surveyed with an experienced eye the damage the storm had done to the sails and rigging, he thought of many times in recent years when he had been in circumstances just as desperate. He had not bothered to call on the Lord for mercy then. Why should he now? John Newton was born in London in 1720.